Well, joining us once again for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Hello, KB.
Good morning.
How are you?
Basking in the London sunshine.
Ah, yes, yes. It is certainly very, very nice over here at the moment, so you picked the right time to pop over.
Of course.
Let's start, KB, with Leeds United. They've ended the Championship season 13th. What are your thoughts on their mid-table finish?
Well, a degree of disappointment mixed with relief, quite frankly, because, I mean, the way there's been so uncertainty at the club in so many directions, inevitably it reflects on the dressing in the dressing room and on the pitch, even though people won't admit it. So I think, you know, now we've hopefully got some of the uncertainty out of the way. Hopefully in the summer, Massimo will sort out his outstanding court cases so that we have a clear run for next season. I say this season, I think it's been disappointing for a number of reasons. I'm a little surprised that he called a board meeting the 18th of May. Frankly, I would have thought it should have been called much earlier in the season, so that after the last game, you know exactly what your plan is for next year, and you swing it into action. But if they're now, you see what I'm trying to get at? The backroom staff need, if you want things done properly and not in a wild, erratic way, then you have to lay down what their job is in terms of reference and responsibilities and things to achieve well in advance so they can then sit down and plan it. And then you have to leave them and get on with it, but obviously ask to be kept informed with reports. But the 18th of May, well, it's June, July. I mean, it's barely 10 weeks before the start of the season, isn't it?
And as well, KB, is that Steve Evans' future hasn't been resolved, and it looks like it probably will be resolved around that board meeting area. So it sort of doesn't even leave then they're maybe looking for a new manager as well.
Well, you have to. If you go, you've got to look for a new manager, but again, normally you should have one lined up. So it's a smooth, seamless transition. But depending who's available and who you want, it has to be are they working elsewhere, in which case you might have to negotiate a period of payoff, a notice, or we might have to pay compensation to the club that you asked them to release them from. It's not straightforward, you know. I'm surprised to hear Sheridan's name mentioned, because if Leeds are to get back into the Premiership, they have to have a strong manager with a proven success record. And I don't know very much about Sheridan, know a little about it. The biggest thing we had with him was when he threw a wobbly because we wouldn't let his son have a kick about on the pitch before the game when we played... which I think he's managing Oldham at the time. I don't think he's good enough to get us into the Premiership. That's my opinion. If Mr. Sheridan's listening, I'm sorry. But, you know, that's my opinion. I think they've got to get a strong manager, one who knows what he wants, who will require an undertaking from the board, having laid out the perimeters, what his job is, what his appointment is, and what his expectations are, and how much money he's got to spend, then he gets on with it and stays on with it. And yeah. The first job of the next manager, make sure the young kids are given proper contracts so they're kept in the club.
Yeah, I think that's obviously the key for the next manager. And you're right with John Sheridan. I mean, he seems to be bookie's favourite at the moment for head coach. He's actually, KB, back at Oldham at the moment in League One for a second time.
How many football clubs do the bookies run?
It's a good point. Not many, KB, not many. I would say none. Also, with the off-the-field problems that Leeds United have had, Massimo Cellino's son, Urkel, is apparently unlikely to face FA action now. It's emerged he's already resigned from the club's board, and that was before this certain social media post that he did about Nazis.
Well, problem solved, box tick, let's move on. While we're talking about directors, one thing that crosses my mind is one item on the agenda of the 18th of May it should be those two charlatans, the Patels from GFH. Why are they still on the board? What do they contribute? The answer is nothing. They did ridiculously. Lean Patel played more than his fair share of buggering up the club when they took it over. Some message which Massimo is still sorting out. But the thing is, the reason why they're on the board, I believe, is much to do with GFH's accounting situation, because if they can claim they can, they're taking part in the governance of the club at the moment, which of course they're not, but they are. Be interesting to see if they're there on the 18th of May, by the way. Then they can equity account. It's to boost their own balance sheet, nothing to do with Leeds United. The other thing is, of course, David Haig is now out, and he has now gone to war with GFH, and it's going to be a very dirty battle, all in every sense of the word. And GFH, those two particular directors, will be high profile. And really, do Leeds want to be smeared by association?
Moving away from Leeds United, KB, and well, Leicester, where they were crowned Premier League champions last Saturday. It was fantastic scenes at the King Power Stadium, and as well, Andrea Bocelli singing before the game, Nessun Dorma, and Time to Say Goodbye. It's a tribute to Claudio Ranieri.
Be very clever. The Time to Say Goodbye was he's changed it to Time to Win Again.
That's very good. That's very good. There was fantastic atmosphere there.
Southfield, Yorkshire. No, it was a tremendous, tremendous atmosphere. And in fact, Suzanne and I sent Claudio 24 bottles of Dom Perignon Rosé to celebrate in style. And in fact, we're going to have a drink with him on Saturday night at the team hotel. He'd done very well. The trouble is he's now set high standards, which he'll have, you know, eaten bread soon forgotten, and he moves on to the next game, the next season, and that's his challenge now. But I think there's a good team spirit there. A number of the top players who've come from nowhere could probably move on to big clubs, and as far as I know, they've all said no, they want to stay at Leicester and play in the Champions League with Leicester and try and keep the Premiership champions. I doubt they'll do it, but it's nice that's their attitude. And the style of football is old-style English football. These days, unfortunately, what we get, you know, ball pass, ball back pass, ball pass, side pass, all that kind of nonsense. They play more direct, and the clubs that play this hold the ball and push it about, which is more continental, and they have time to lay off and consider the next move. They don't, because the Leicester players are obviously terribly fit. They act like a hunter, pack of bloody wolves, hunting down the players who got the ball and giving them no time to think or pass or decide what to do with it. There'll be a welcome addition to the Premiership. What am I talking about? They're there. There'll be a welcome addition next year, bringing another. And it's nice to see Burnley's up, and it's nice to see Sunderland safe. And speaking personally, let's hope Brighton gets up as well. Because what will be nice is next season there'll be 10 what you might call unfashionable clubs in the Premiership, which is good for football.
Don't say anything about Brighton to any Sheffield Wednesday fans. They might prefer Sheffield Wednesday to be up, I would say.
Yeah, well, that would be nice as well.
Well, it'd be a very Yorkshire Championship next year, wouldn't it, if they did?
On that happy note, have a nice day.
As ever, always a pleasure, KB. We'll speak to you again next week.
Thank you, bye.